This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
To Applebee's?
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. And usually we end each show where we all kiss each other, but because of Corona, we're not going to do it.
Just touch feet.
Okay, y'all ready? We listen to Audio Adrenaline, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see cats.
I wanted to yuck everybody, and I didn't.
Hey, I'm just chilling.
Disgusting.
Okay, bitch, watch this.
I love a zinga.
Jesus Christ.
Losers, in other words.
Oh, well, you
want
to get in the
bathtub? It's Sicario. Very familiar with Calvinism as a concept.
I said, jealous some? And they're, yeah, they are.
Hey! Pirates are planted in the patch. Though my life has changed.
This is the theme song to the sitcom Reba.
Reba!
So imagine her with like big lights, like kind of spinning around the WB set. You know when they would do those promos?
The channels are so weird on this.
The bass saxophone.
What is that?
I'm a survivor.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun, GCF, which stands for Grim.
Get Corona
Flu.
Fucked.
Get Corona Fucked. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline. And we're here jealous to have good
and I'm like, yeah, yeah, they are. And we're here to have good Christian fun. Burn it. It really is. Wait, I did want to go back to that song.
Why is it so tinny?
I'm a survivor.
I mean, I ripped it from YouTube.
Yeah, but she's like clear as a bell, and it's like,
I do want to rewatch Reba now. Because I think she's funny.
Yeah.
She has good timing. She's like a natural. Mm-hmm. But Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, movies, music, entertainment, made for and made by Christians. One of which is I Still Believe, which as of recording this, just to put this in a real time capsule, it's March 12th. I Still Believe, that Jeremy Camp movie that we talked about a while back.
Yes. It's
coming
years.
Out tomorrow. It might be the last movie ever released.
In theaters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So this comes out, you know, 6 days from now. We don't know the state of things
God's
then,
timing.
But it's all part of hashtag God's plan.
Wait, let me just check the Pasadena AMC to see if anybody's going to that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Santa Anita. So at the 10:15 showing, there are two seats taken. So get your tickets now, okay? Make sure you get in there.
Yeah, didn't we? We were talking about, like, we should, like, rent out a theater for the Jeremy Camp biopic.
Oh my gosh.
Which now even more of a reason.
I was afraid to have us three in a room tonight. Yeah, so hot chance.
Yeah, let's sit in that.
I'm trying to go
hot and
sing.
Chance
Fat
fancy
chance.
Pants. But we're not here to make fun of you or to bash your beliefs or to make you go to church either. We're just here to have some good Christian fun.
Amen to that.
And we're going to talk about audio adrenaline tonight. Topic in preparing for it today felt like the most important thing in the world. It just felt like, you know, sometimes you wonder, does what I do for work have significance in the world?
Yeah.
And on a day like this, it's like,
Yes, it does. And yeah, I also was taking a look at my priorities today. And as I was scanning the news, I was like, dang, how long did audio adrenaline stay together? You know, that kind of data you need to know and spread around to your family and friends.
That came top of mind when I saw every breaking headline when unfortunately, and not to make a lie of this, but Mickey Mouse did pass away today of corona.
Yeah. Dude, send your condolences to
yeah.
Minnie.
Goofy had a nice notes app screenshot kind of memoriam of him.
Oh, man.
So, you know what? This one's dedicated to Mickey today, and we do it for him. And to carry on, we do need a very special guest to help
That's
us
right.
out with this endeavor, the most important podcast in the world right now. Friends and folks, she's a songwriter, she's a journalist. You can catch her show, State of Grace, from Refinery 29. Everybody give it the hell up for Grace Sendler-Baldridge!
Yeah! Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. Thank you for, well, truly, I did almost send an email being like, you don't have to come.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Interesting you said that. It sounds like we were both playing chicken with each other because I was refreshing my email being like, I'm not going to send anything.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm available in case they do.
Sure, sure.
But I'm not going to.
No, that's very sweet.
But if they do, as a treat, you know, unless.
As a treat, unless. Yeah,
maybe.
No, the internet has not
you
broken
could be
our brains.
As a treat.
Yeah.
Me, come over and do my podcast. Bay, COVID-19 is happening. Me.
Well, I'm doing a podcast.
Bay. No, meme culture is great. I definitely love that I can't speak without... Someone posited this theory that like meme speak is almost this generation's version of what... Anchorman or a certain kind of movie
yes.
that you would quote over and over
yeah.
again, like Glass
yes.
Case of Emotion, like that sort of thing.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, you know how we think of bros in a certain generation of college supplanting their own sense of humor with just like quotes, like, is that what we're doing with meme speak? Maybe a little bit.
I think that is exactly correct. Because we know that movie attendance has dwindled and what has skyrocketed? Internet attendance.
Mm-hmm.
We're always attending the
I'm
internet.
Attending.
We're always
present.
Actively present online.
Yeah.
And so I think
Carolina
that it only
has
makes
perfect
sense.
Attendance, actually.
Yeah, yeah,
never
actually,
late.
Never
on
take
an
a sick day.
Streak.
Never been on vacation. I'm always here.
So hopefully when this podcast is hitting you, you know, it still matters to listen to podcasts.
I
don't know,
I really
man.
Was thinking about it today and I was like, people are probably gonna be a little stressed, so maybe this will be fun and like a bit of a diversion.
Yeah,
that's
I mean
the best
that's what I mean
I have
that's what
show.
I mean yes.
You know when
yeah.
it feels like the world is on fire, listen to a podcast that inexplicably opens with the Reba theme song. I was crying during that intro
and that's
I
what
was like
how
oh,
familiar
yes. and
she's a survivor.
It's like we don't appreciate just how much of a triple threat in such a unique way
yeah.
Reba is
almost more so
come
than
on.
Dolly you know
well, think, well
I'm sorry
well
does
more
but
so
Dolly
than
have
Dolly?
A hit TV show
she
in her name
well she does
she's
have the Netflix
it.
Show
that's true
she yeah. does have the Netflix show I mean she is Dolly Parton
she was
but
Hannah
does
Montana.
She have a sitcom well Hannah Montana but That was a guest starring role.
Starring, yeah.
Reba was a sitcom about Reba.
No,
being Reba.
Excuse me.
In front of a live studio audience, not necessarily singing.
Yeah. Amazing.
Now, ladies, if I may, I think sometimes in this culture we pit women against other women a little too much.
Wow, that's so true.
So maybe
Did
we
you
could
just
like
think
take
of that?
A break.
Mm-hmm.
Let's compare her to Blake Shelton.
Oh no, we love Reba. I was watching a radio interview on YouTube this week with her and Bobby Bones from like a year ago, and she's
Bobby Bones.
He's like a famous radio personality, and he introduced her at like the Kennedy Center award show thing, and it was a nice conversation. She was very engaged, and like I was kind of scouring it for memes.
She's the best.
To dusting off the old Twitter.
All right, let's see. Well, when this corona shit's over, I got a whole bag full of like Reba
reaction gifts. A lot of people are going to be clocking in.
For those Reba, those hot Reba memes. When
could be great.
We were filming an episode of State of Grace in Alabama, our sex education episode. That night we went to one of the best gay bars I've ever been to, ever, Al's on 7th, and we saw one of the best, actually only, but I will also say best Reba impersonators I've ever seen, impersonators. She was so good. She came out and just crushed it. I wish I knew this queen's name, because it was such a weird episode. We were having a hard time getting healthcare providers to talk with us or teachers to talk with us about sex education in Alabama. So we were sort of coming off of that. Let's go to a gay bar, kick back and relax. Mm-hmm. And then this incredible like drag impersonator of Reba McEntire comes out and just slays in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was like, I'm living for this. We'll keep going. We'll keep fighting the fight.
And tomorrow.
ever since then, I've really like gently tuned back into like, wow, why don't we give Reba the props that she's due? Roundabout way of saying, Kevin, the memes are ready.
Yeah,
like people.
Actually,
yeah, people
we
need
a cultural need. Inflection.
Be,
point.
You're ahead of it. You're ahead of the curve here.
That's I think what's next.
Yeah, I know. That's
Reba's in the next.
that's so big Reba. Part of culture. Like, and also, I mean. Reba is gay rights, too.
She is.
Gay
no, she had a single on AIDS called She Thinks His Name Was John.
Wow.
That it, like, the, it, she, you know, she, so she does have a progressive streak.
Yeah, great. Now, I like that the idea of drag queen being Reba, because Reba's, like, a little subtle, you know? Like, she doesn't
wear sequins
all the time.
Right.
You know, she's like... What? I don't know, like a pantsuit.
But she,
you know,
Reba loves a good reveal, you know, where you come out, like she comes out in like a one moment thing. So I think this queen came out with like a, first of all, the hair was iconic because it was
hair.
Like, remember in the 2000s, we all like flipped it out.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we.
That's a reveal.
Hair was perfect.
Take it back. She loves fringe.
She's got reveals.
Exactly.
We're looking at pictures of Reba.
She had like a fedora on, and then maybe like a jacket, like a blazer from Ann Taylor. And then she like whipped off the jacket and the fedora to reveal like a gentle sort of sequinsy blue type dress.
Oh,
and she and the makeup was perfect. Like she had all the mannerisms, like all the stuff. And I was like, this is incredible. Take the show to Vegas right now.
Oh, I love it.
Give her a show.
All right. Well, Reba's second service coming at you soon.
Yeah.
But for today, Grace, what is your history?
My history, religion,
faith, deconstruction, maybe a reconstruction.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. So my dad is an Episcopal priest. I grew up in Waterloo, Belgium. So I grew up overseas, and Belgium is one of the most secular countries, I think, in Western Europe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was one of the first countries to legalize gay marriage. So I grew up, the Episcopal tradition is affirming. I grew up in an affirming church. I grew up in a really progressive culture, and I thought that's like what it all was. But my dad also would like send me to like Young Life stuff, not just being like, oh, I'm sure they're cool like me. Because I was... I came out kind of slowly, but I don't think it was like a shock to anybody. You know, I don't think anyone was like, what? Grace. So So he would like send me to like Young Life events and things like that, and where they would have American missionaries in like European projects or like group settings and stuff like that. And okay. then I sort of got kind of like dog whistle stuff of like, oh, gay things, like, oh, sin, lifestyle, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, but it wasn't until I moved to the U.S. that I really experienced how different people's understanding of Christian theology largely is in the United States than what it was that I grew up with.
Wow. And so, that's so backwards for most.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were your peers in Belgium also Christian for the most part, or Episcopal for the most part?
For the most part. I think also growing up in an international school and attending an international environment, you just become so comfortable with people in cultures outside of your own. And so there was a really a lot of understanding and curiosity for people who had different perspectives. There wasn't like, this is the one theology that we subscribe to, because I went to a school with 63 people in my graduating class, and I believe that there were like 50 different nationalities represented. Wow. So to say that it's all going to be the same sort of monolith of religious perspectives is impossible. Yeah. And so you really people might have been Christian, and I know that there were some people that were more closely aligned to an evangelical tradition of Christianity, but they were certainly not in the majority. And actually, for the most part, they were sort of like the weirdos, because they were so candidly backwards on so many social issues that we all, you know, were going through at the time as kids, that you're like feeling it through. And so I just remember one time in like a group conversation, we're like sitting at lunch, and someone was like, oh, like, what do you think about like gay people or something like that? And I just remember one kid that had moved over from Michigan for his junior year, so he was kind of older coming into our little like international like utopian squad, and he was like,
pluralistic society.
Yeah, I know. And he just goes like, ew, like out of nowhere, and we were all just like, what? That's the weirdest response that you could have. Like, mm-hmm. we're not all there yet. Obviously, we've progressed so much since when I was in high school, but it was still just like, did Chris just say gross? Like, what a weird guy. But I was still very sheltered until I got engaged, because I, you know, would only attend Episcopal services. And then when I got engaged, my oldest friend, kind of who was born again, came out of the woodwork and was like, I don't believe that two people should be together in this way. And I was very much unaware of that position that she held until I asked her to be a bridesmaid.
Wow.
And so that's when sort of the show was created, because I was venting to it about this situation with a friend of mine, and my friend was a producer at Refinery at the time, and she was like, are you telling me, she's not religious, and she was like, are you telling me that homophobia is rooted in religion? And I was like, Tina, yes. Yes, I mean, that's what I'm telling you. And she's like, well, we should like explore that. I was like, yeah, well, we should. We really should, because it sucks and I'm sad.
Yeah.
And this was sort of her, the show, and like working on the show together. I see her, like, she's my neighbor. She lives down the street. I love her so much. It was like her way of like giving me a hug in a time that was very confusing for me, because I was so previously sheltered to the experience of many queer people that are ostracized on the basis of faith, because I was so protected, because I was raised in an affirming tradition.
Even when you came back to the U.S. as well?
Yeah, because my parents and my family has always been affirming. So like, mm-hmm. When I came out to my dad over the phone, my mom was like, I don't think you've like actually told your dad. At this point, I'd really assumed that people had known. He's like, you have to tell him. And I was like, oh, right. And so I was like, Dad, you know that I'm dating a girl, right? Like, you know that? And he's like, oh, I'm so happy you found someone. Like, it was really mm-hmm. very... Mm-hmm. And so, I know, it always kind of cracks me when I think about that story, because I remember that same year a girl had dumped me because she had said that her dad was very religious. And the irony of saying that to a preacher's kid, I was like,
I was like, I mean, well, that could work. Yeah.
Well, my dad is, I'm not saying it's a competition about whose dad is more religious, but
dad is the Pope. I'm sorry.
Dad, literally, yeah, I was like, I don't know. So that's kind of my story of faith. And in doing the show, State of Grace, which is about...
Yeah, tell us about the show. Give us the elevator pitch.
Okay.
Or longer. Big elevator, tall building.
Yeah, long.
Well, those
long
are even
building.
Faster. It's got to be a short building where the slow elevator takes forever.
Yeah. Broken elevator.
A really sketchy elevator. Okay, so State of Grace is a docuseries from Refinery 29. Our episodes are about like 12 to 15 minutes, and we explore different social issues and how they intersect with faith in the United States. So we've done gay conversion therapy. We've looked at sex education. We've also looked at science and evolution and creationism. We editing right now an episode about Christian music and the Christian music industry. So I'm very excited to be speaking with y'all, but also bummed because that hasn't come out yet and I have so much tea.
Oh my God.
I really want to spill.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, we'll do it in the break. You know, these listeners don't need to hear.
That's what the break is for.
I went into the episode being like, who all's cool here? Like within all my favorites in Christian music, I grew up so much in like with Christian music.
Did you talk to Jen?
We tried.
Okay.
It's my dream. I truly love her.
Yeah, because that's the conversation.
Didn't hear back in time. I know. That's a huge conversation. We got really close. I think that just the timing didn't work out, but I'm incredibly like fond of her. Her music is like a huge part of my childhood, my memories. And now listening back with what you know now to some of those songs.
Very resonant. Very
it's like a gut punch in the best way. In the best way. Mm-hmm. Like it's just so real and authentic. And it was just sort of, that episode that you guys did was really, really powerful for me.
Thank you.
Good.
We I feel like listeners of this show would find a lot of Venn diagram overlap and interest in a lot of the stuff that you do on State of Grace. There was even one well before knowing you or having this connection made where we would have you on the show. There was an episode of State of Grace that I even posted on social media.
You did.
I did. It was the dark reality of mega churches.
Mosaic.
Yes.
Celebrity endorsed churches.
It's the Mosaic thing. And of course, who should reach out to me from that? But someone from Mosaic saw that.
Good.
And said, oh, hey, just so you know, like actually it was, you know, and had so many things to say. I'm like, okay, man, you know, just like listening to them patiently, but I'm like, the core of it is still this though, right?
Yeah.
Like despite what you think was like an editing trick in it or in the piece, like
the truth of that is exactly what is in that video. We had an interview scheduled that morning. They pulled the plug the night before and they didn't really give us a reason. And then I wasn't going to be like, oh no. And so our team, you know, started just looking into why would they cancel, what's going on here. And it's all out there for you. And I think with a lot of churches that are sort of ambiguous with regards to being affirming or not, or just inclusive, not just of an LGBTQ plus population, but of people that might fall outside of a very rigid puritanical theology and they're welcome, you know, do your research. The information is there for you. Just this past week or maybe 2 weeks ago, there's a high-profile celebrity that I truly love and admire that I know would not want to be affiliated with a non-affirming church, and she's been promoting them on her Instagram story. And it drives me insane because the celebrities are protected from the reality of their churches. If this person has like a queer group of friends, identifies as queer themselves, the church isn't going to shun them. Mm. And so they are protected from the treatment and the reality and the betrayal that so many other parishioners or attendees, congregants that will come through these doors will experience because they don't have that status. So as a person with a platform, it is your responsibility to research the churches and the faith communities that you are going to be endorsing. It's so heartbreaking because I know how hurtful this can be and how insidious I think it is for church leaders to make a choice to hide their stance from the rest of the world because it looks better on Instagram and the optics of their reach is better if they can just sort of dilute a certain number of high status celebrities into thinking that this is good. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
It is such a snaky little dance that they all have to do too, where it's like, come in, but you can't know this, but we need you as like a sort of face, but we also have to like kind of like lie to you. It feels like a sitcom, like the kind of acrobats that they have to go through. And then on the other end of that, you do have people like Ellen Page just kind of like calling some people out on Instagram and social media, and her and Chris Pratt getting into a little war over it a couple of months ago.
That was so interesting as well because if you recall, so Ellen Page basically calls out Chris Pratt, and then the response, so predictable from Chris Pratt's camp and from so many people that belong to churches like this that, again, are protected. I don't think that he is an intolerant person or a bigoted person. I don't think he believes his church is that way either, because I think they are so protected from the truth. But what they say is, no, my church welcomes and loves everyone. That's not the question. Can a queer person serve in leadership? Yes or no. Can a queer person get married? Yes or no. It's not about the welcome. It's not about the love or how you interpret that love. And I think that gets kind of lost.
Totally.
You know, it's about the yes or no.
A celebrity maybe doesn't think to ask the questions like, oh, can you actually answer this factual piece of it? They'll just take it at face value. Like, like, we accept everyone. Queer people are totally welcome here. We love them. You know, we understand that.
And that's so busy.
Or they're with Kevin experiences too, or it's like turns into like, I'd love to actually talk with you about that sometime. Like, let's get coffee. And so it becomes this like closed door, like, this is my husband, by the way.
Oh, hello. Sorry.
Speaking of open doors.
Opening doors and closing it. Yeah, but it turns into like this, let's have a side conversation where I'll address it with you, and then I never have to publicly declare our position.
That total,
we just manage you, basically.
Yeah, totally that. And also, let's never get anything in writing. Mm-hmm. Let's meet for coffee in person so that this conversation is speculative if you talk about it anywhere else.
Yeah, or like you get an answer that another person wouldn't. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the other thing, too, is like with churches that are, maybe even don't know where they stand or something like that. Like, it's so much better to just say, like, we're actively figuring that out right now.
And address it head on.
And address and just say that and, like, take the hit for it instead of being like, no, we're, come on in, you know?
And I always feel like, I don't know how to, like, steward privilege sometimes, where I always feel like a jerk when I visit a friend of mine's church or ask them about their church, because obviously one of my first questions is like, well, is it affirming?
Right,
like,
yeah.
And oftentimes they're like, oh, I don't know. Or like, maybe, or I don't think they are. Well, I've seen some gay people in my church, so maybe. Like,
yeah.
But then it's like, I don't know what my responsibility is to be like, well, this sounds like this sucks shit and you need to leave. I never know the balance. And of course it depends on like relationship and the intimacy of that connection with that particular person. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time it's like, well, sometimes I would just rather not engage with it. Selfishly, I'd rather not engage with it at all.
Yeah.
Than like put them in a position where it's like, oh, it sounds like your church sucks.
Yeah. Or just try to like do that thing to just patiently like, keep asking questions of like, have you found out? Does it bother you? Mm-hmm. What if you brought a friend? Does that would that bother you? You know, like all those things too.
Because I can be flexy and pretty tolerant about like, oh, your church has this doctrine about whatever it is. Even like younger stuff, I'm like, I don't care. Like, if you think the earth is like 3,500 years, whatever, man. Like, it's fine if you treat people well. But that's the stuff where it's like, it just feels like an inflexible breaking point for me.
Yeah.
And I think it should be for all of us, too.
I hope that what's exciting is I feel like we're in this moment where more and more Christians that don't align with the theology that is excluding people are finding each other and are finding community. Because I think for a while it really felt like we were sort of alone little islands. And that's what is so exciting about this podcast is just listening to you. It feels as though you're listening to friends and you feel less alone. Because it's like, oh, thank goodness someone else was there with me, you know, the whole time. And I think that Christianity is like this large sort of entity in the United States, that those like mega, like present social media conglomerate Christianity branding type of a thing has done a really good job of is making us feel isolated. Anyone who's sort of on the outside feel really isolated and not being able to find each other. And they're so much bigger than we could ever speak power to. And I'm just encouraged by spaces like this where it's like, no. Like we are here for each other and we are on the side of inclusivity and unconditional love, and that's right, that's biblical, you know, that's what it is. And so it's really encouraging that at least now we're in a moment where it's like I'm in a room with people where I don't have to explain like, oh, not all churches are affirming. Like, we're getting the word out there, and so hopefully I don't need to go on some celebrity who I love's Instagram story and be like, gosh darn it, we're promoting this church again.
Hello, pardon me.
My previous email,
as I've stated before.
It sounds like in your trajectory with this stuff too, and I know it was kind of brief the way we went over it, but it doesn't sound like there was ever a particular moment or time where it's like, I'm sure you've had like faith struggles or doubt or whatever it is, but about even the kind of stigma or cultural import or weight that might be tied to even calling yourself a Christian or calling yourself a person of faith. Have you gone through that at all? Because if it feels like, especially in the last 4 years and maybe in the last 10, it has become more of a political term that's problematic and maybe more easily an easy way to turn people away from you or to have people disengage from you to use it. Because even now when people say like, are you a Christian? I'm like, it's not important to me that you call me a Christian or that I declare I'm a Christian. Here's the things I believe. If that's what a Christian is, sure, but it feels like a misnomer. So like, what's your relationship even to like the label of that?
Well, I think that's a great point, because the label of a Christian, you're assigning so much harm basically behind just calling yourself a Christian, and how that could trigger someone else's experience with a person of faith. It's definitely an eyebrow raiser, less so now because of the show. But I remember before the show happened, when people would be like, wait, are you Christian? And my wife and I kind of had to come out to each other about being Christian and wanting to find a church, and exploring our faith in a way that was authentic to us and our marriage. Because there is such a stigma, especially and understandably within the queer community, surrounding people of faith because of the disproportionate levels of harm that they have had to endure in the name of the God that I pray to. It's awful. So I am a Christian, and I don't say that lightly. It's a faith that I've come to examine. It's honestly, my relationship to Jesus has only gotten to a personal level that I would always hear about at Young Life. When I started to really love and accept myself for the gay ass lady I've always known myself to be. And a big part of that was like in my presentation. When you look at photos of me from when I was like 0 to 6, I looked like me now. Like, it's actually pretty funny. I look pretty much the same. And then you can kind of clock in a way that really is heartbreaking for me when societal images of like what a girl is and like how I should be presenting myself started it like clicking with me, which is unfortunate because it wasn't really enforced at home. It wasn't from my parents. It wasn't from my brother. It wasn't really from my friends. It was just all around me. We're bombarded, especially, you know, young girls were bombarded by these types of messages. And so I would, you know, so I did the whole thing. I tried to be a certain way, and I tried to subscribe to a certain way of life, knowing who I was in my heart the whole time. And it was only, you know, when I really sort of shunned all that stuff, all that really worldly stuff, that I was able to access a personal faith and relationship to God, which is how I can say that my faith is examined, and it's very real, and I will call myself a Christian, but it is not something that was like, yeah, duh, you know. And I actually don't think, I think that there's some joke. Do you know Kevin Garcia? So I think it's Kevin that's basically said most queer Christians have like a low-key degree in theology because of all the sort of deconstruction that we've had to go through.
Yeah, that's what
and
it feels like.
Yeah, so I've come to a point where I am a Christian and I'm proud of my faith, and it is very personal to me, but it has also been a strange, unique sort of roller coaster that is deeply mindful, prayerful, and examined in a way that I'm grateful for, but is not, I think, the experience of many cishet Christians.
Yeah, which is a position of privilege too, because it's like I didn't have to like get in there and navigate all that stuff for even the idea of survival or being able to like cling to something and be able to like prove it to myself in good conscience and be like, oh yeah, this fully still works for me or whatever. So yeah, that's a fair point. That is a funny point about most people being like super learned about that stuff.
Because people will throw verses at you. You sort of get to a point that you're just like, wait, let me, when is the rapist?
Look this up.
Yeah, let me, who is this Paul? Who was he writing to? Like, you never think of Paul as like, these are letters. Like, we're reading someone else's mail. And like, why was he writing these letters? They didn't know they were writing the Bible. There's just so much.
Yeah. It's messy.
There's so much. And VeggieTales did not make that clear. VeggieTales did not.
You know, I'm sorry, Grace. I actually have to draw the line
there.
I
knew this would happen tonight.
Perfect and undeniable. I'm sorry.
And my dad,
truly.
Bob and Larry are my gay dads.
They're my gay dads. I love them very much. And you keep your hands off of them.
You're so right. Bob and Larry were gay.
Icons.
Bert and Ernie walked so Bob and Larry could run in terms of like shipping.
I truly can't think of like Bob or Larry ever doing something like straight, you know, or like going like dating a lady vegetable.
They rewatch everything with this in mind. You're absolutely correct.
I don't know if they're together, but they might at the very least be gay best friends.
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
I don't think Bob
they definitely go cruising together.
Yeah.
Cruising.
Yeah, they check them out. I was going to go back to an old question.
This is Junior Asparagus singing I Can Only Imagine.
This isn't canon. Turn it off.
on a UBC.
Okay.
Oh my, wait, how did disgusting. You pull that up so fast?
Oh, there might be a playlist right on the old desktop.
You just thought of it. What was it? Oh, I was going to go back a little bit and ask if you have like lost any queer friends in being a Christian or in like acknowledging that openly, or do you feel like they kind of came around to understand what you meant by it?
I didn't lose any friends. Cool. I think part of that is just sort of in my openness for questions, and my Christian faith doesn't negate someone else's Christian hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that I've never tried to justify harm that's been done to anybody at all. And I don't think I never would. So in that, it's just sort of like, I want to be part of a faith tradition that is affirming and healing and proactive. And I think that a lot of my friends would recognize that that's part of the change that I'm trying to be part of. Knowing that we can only, you know, we're all doing our best. We're all trying to figure this out. This is so new. Like, this type of a space is so new.
Yeah,
and, you know, reconciling so much of the hurt. So, yeah, I didn't really lose any friends on the queer side. On the Christian side, I think I posed some more. I think when I sort of was open about, yeah, you've known me to be gay, but did you also know that your girls still praying, that was actually a little bit more of a reaction, I think, on the Christian side of things. Because there is this assumption that it's like, you always see like, well, religious freedom, like, just because I believe in religious freedom doesn't mean that, you know, I don't love gay people. I'm like, wait, why are you're by that sentence, you're excluding gay people
right,
from their own religious freedom.
If you're gay, you cannot be a Christian.
Exactly.
As well.
So I think challenging that, I actually saw more sort of pushback on the Christian side of things, of just like, wait, this can't be yours too. And I'm like, yes, I have a wife and I'm in love and I'm also a member of my church's vestry. I'm the worst member by far, but.
Proverbs 31-ing. I'm sorry.
Extremely bad.
P31-ing.
Wait, isn't that what Madison had on her hand on The Bachelor?
Oh, is that what it was?
I think it was.
Oh my God.
Could be wrong.
I saw it. She's
some
writing
from
on her hand during their like awful conversation.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's the wise man does this.
Wow.
Like, it's got to be a P31. I don't think she's it's pulling from the
mom.
Other 30. Yeah.
Wow. That's probably.
I think so.
That lines
we
up.
We can look it up. Yeah.
I think that's what's on her Instagram bio.
Oh, good.
Wait. You know what? Before I slander her like that, let me make sure. Oh boy. Watching a lot of that, watching the stuff she was saying was like, oh my God, I'm back at like 10th grade. It's really hard.
Well, it's also really interesting too, because ABC, who is owned by Disney, were very sort of obtuse in how they represented that conversation. And I think that was intentional. But if you know any of the lingo, like we all do, then you know exactly what that conversation
was
about.
She was asking
about.
Me like, be a spiritual leader to like, be committed to Christ and to like stay virginal and stuff. I'm sorry, she does have Proverbs 31:8 on her profile.
I knew it.
P31:8.
That's probably what was on her hand.
That's her life verse.
Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute.
Not
bad. Is that Proverbs 31:8?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great one.
Okay. Well, NIV translation. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Speak up for those who can't. Great.
Yeah.
Why not?
Christian gals from the Midwest, speak up.
As long as her bio also has wife, adventure, plane emoji,
mother of
Jesus
two,
lover,
baby boy,
mother of two, and the emojis are white.
Yeah,
I love when they make sure they're white instead of just going for the default yellow. Yeah,
we could just stick with yellow, folks.
Nasty.
Not cool.
Yeah, not cool.
Nasty.
Oh, what was I going to say? Never mind, I forgot. It was more about The Bachelor.
There's a lot.
You just want to talk about this season.
That's the thing. You guys could do a whole episode on just that.
And in fact, we have. Not on that season.
We did talk about Hannah B. and her conversation.
Windmill
lady. Great. We love her.
Weird. Yeah. But then she walked it back later.
She did?
Like after the show. Yeah.
She's
messy. She was like, actually, yeah, like saving myself is really important to me. And blah, blah, blah. I was like, what?
No,
I thought her Instagram
she's like,
bio.
She was like, I slip up here and there.
What?
It was more like, I'm trying not to bone,
oh,
but
Hannah
like
B.
when I do, I know God still loves me or something. Like, it's still wrong.
Now, as much as I have always looked to Bachelor contestants to be consistent ideological thought leaders,
yes!
In this one instance,
you know
she
what?
Let
I
me
just
down.
Needed one, and it's Hannah B.
Yeah.
I pinned a lot.
She was
to
our
Hannah
champion.
B.
We really did. I love Hannah B. I didn't know that about her.
She's delightful. Yeah.
Yeah, she really is.
I don't know. Maybe she changed her mind again. I don't know.
I'm not sure. We're all working through it.
We're all working through it.
We all deserve.
She's like 21. You know,
I know.
So give
like,
her some time.
She just could drink like 6 months yeah. ago or whatever.
So
it is.
Young.
So young.
That's
so young.
The weirdest.
It's weird to be at an age now where it's like 10 years younger than me is like still an adult who can do everything, but it's also still young. Like
yeah.
it's still very
so young.
Young.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They're like 23 year olds being like looking for my forever. And I'm like, okay.
Are you
keep
sure?
Keep looking.
Yeah. Take your time.
Love is blind.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing your story, Grace.
Yeah, thank you, Grace.
That's
Grace.
Very sweet.
Interesting.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I mean, you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on.
Was that okay. Stephen Curtis Chapman?
It was Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
He's dialing in.
Do you know anything about Stephen that we should know about?
Updates? Not off the top of my head,
okay.
but
updates.
Would love yeah. any Stephen
How's
Curtis
he doing?
Chapman. Oh, I think I was on another. I was like, why have I talked about Stephen Curtis Chapman recently? Because I was on another podcast where I
the Curtis cast.
Oh my gosh! Don't Curtis steal that idea from me.
They do every song by song of this SCC catalog.
No, I think I just like kind of roasted him, and then I felt bad. I was like, I'm sure he's a nice person, but then I was like, wait a second, he probably doesn't like gay people. It was just a whole mental spiral about Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Hey, I got an update on Stephen Curtis Chapman.
What? Well, it's my turn
now. Yes, it's my turn now. That was last week.
Time to die.
He was huge, guys. Stephen Curtis Chapman and Michael W. Smith were like it. They were the moment.
They were the moment. The
Elton John
icons.
And Billy Joel of their markets.
I'm imagining like a drag queen doing Michael W. Smith.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what you do.
Could we ever do a good Christian fun crossover with drag queens? Yes. Like a live show of we reference a song and then a queen comes out and perform. Come on.
I mean,
that's
Amy Grant and Sammy Grant alone is not.
Mike Hole W. Smith, is that anything?
Exactly.
Stephen Squirtus Chapman. We have
a talent for this.
Jars of Gay? That's something.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
I also think that, you know, given my conversation with the lead singer from Jars of Clay, I pitched him. I don't know if it resonated, but who knows? I'm hopeful. I was like, so we can see Jars of Clay at a Pride parade? And he was like, I mean, we're not really performing anymore.
We're not together.
But it wasn't a no, is the point.
Yeah,
it wasn't
a no.
We might get him.
He
we
was
might
extremely
get
cool.
There.
Yeah. I'm hopeful.
Flood that parade, dog. Oh, God. But what was your, like, you grew up Episcopal.
Yeah.
Not necessarily evangelical. This all feels so tied to evangelical
stuff. I know.
Stuff, well, the pop culture stuff. So how'd you experience it?
So my dad was a concert promoter for the University of Delaware's like youth program before we moved to Belgium. So he got kind of jumped into that world. And I used to go to...
Jump-fived into that world.
Yes, jump-fived into that world. And I used to go with him to like Christian Music Week every year in Nashville, and we would like meet all the artists. So like I've been in an elevator with Audio Adrenaline before, and I remember freaking out. I have a bunch of photos with Margaret Becker. My dad and her were very close.
Margaret Becker.
Who's
that? Yeah. She's a diva singer songwriter. Not really
diva. Kind of the Reba of Christian music in some ways.
Yeah.
Is Reba the Christian music?
Fair point.
Singer?
Fair enough.
Yeah, she is.
But I was babysat by Sixpence on the Richer.
Really?
Very cool. Yeah.
Aww.
And she followed me recently on Instagram and commented on a photo of me and my wife and was like, adorable.
Wow. She fully rocks, yeah.
We talked to her one time. That
you
felt like
did?
A big one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, wow.
She's under really the cool. Milky Twilight. We did.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We lovely Nash in my house. I realized that she was probably my first crush because I was terrified of her. And I remember that it was a problem because I would run away from her when she'd be like baby having to like look after me. And she'd be like, why are you so afraid of me? And I'm like, because you're so pretty.
You're so beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, you're, and like your bandmates are fine, but like not you. And she was like, what is wrong with your daughter?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Babysat.
So it was through my dad's like music promotion that I got like involved, or not involved, but interested in Christian music. And then I think that for any parent, it's like, oh, this music doesn't have swearing in it. Like, cool, I'll send that to my kid. And he would get so many CDs for free, and you would just kind of pass them along to me. And when I was really interested in like Slipknot and Korn, he's like, what about POD? And
that's like a MSP. Fine alternative, I guess. Yeah. Youth of the Nation. I am.
No, I was a really big POD fan. I was really big, but not in like the way that I think that they wanted, because I wanted to go hard. Like I wanted metal, right? Mm-hmm. And so I carved POD into my leg. And they were like, this is not what this band is supposed you do. This is a Christian band. And I was like, POD. And
all
I
right.
filled it with like,
have you
that's
heard
it,
POD?
Barlow Girl for you.
Yeah, Barlow. Who knows that this day wasn't like the rest? Instead of taking the test, I took two to the chest.
Call me blonde, but I didn't this isn't see metal, though, right?
Was running, no, this is like the all.
It was new metal.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's new metal. It's like part of the,
Limp
you know,
Bizkit.
Like 311, Limp Bizkit, yeah. All that stuff. This album, Satellite, came out on
9/11?
September 11th, 2001.
Yeah. Oh, no.
9/11.
Unfortunately.
Just like Mariah Carey's album.
Yes,
was
and Bob
Tuesday?
Dylan's album. Yes, it was a Tuesday. Yeah,
you, this album's drop on a Tuesday or something, right?
Music used to come out on Tuesday until a couple years ago. Now it's all Friday. But okay, yeah. So then how did Audio Adrenaline get into the mix?
I think Audio Adrenaline was one of those bands that were very cool early on because of Some Kind of Zombie. They sort of, because Christian music now, it's all sort of like adjacent to worship music for the most part.
It has to be.
But initially it devolved, not devolved, that's kind of rude. It evolved.
Regressed.
Well, it began in the 1970s with Jesus Rock and Larry Norman, I think was his name.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. And so it started with like this very sort of crass like perspective and like on religion, a little bit raw and very just cool because it didn't really know what it was yet. So it was this really sort of kind of grungy genre. And Audio Adrenaline, I think, was closer to that in their earlier work. And so for someone like my dad or for it was just cooler than like than a Stephen Curtis Chapman that was a bit too heavy handed on the like towards worship music. Audio Adrenaline was still sort of in that like Newsboys, like they don't serve breakfast in hell type of thing. And so that's how I think I like DC Talk. I like Jesus Freak. And so I think if you like Jesus Freak, then
you may also like
Audio Adrenaline. Yeah. And so that's how I kind of got into it. But I would say listening back to Audio Adrenaline for this episode, they
only grew in your estimation.
Wow.
Well, Caroline, you may remember, like, we've listened to Big House, of course.
Yeah.
A youth group anthem for the ages, yes. Much like a Kumbaya.
Yes.
For 90s kids. But also, we did listen to a song 2 years ago called My God. Do you remember this at all? You may. This is from their first album from 1992.
Yeah. Is this Bloom? Is this off their
album?
No,
this is from their self-titled. Bloom was their, like, third album.
Oh, wow.
So this is way back.
This is a deep cut.
And listen to the songwriting here.
Oh, yes.
This was their aesthetic.
My God died on the cross.
But it did. Wow, they were way more
punk. This is the thing that I found myself wondering as I was listening just to this album. I was like, I don't know what their style is. Like, what is their thing?
It's a hard thing to land on. There's like a certain sort of Western or like Southern component that's reminiscent of like a Kings of Leon element.
Yeah.
But it's also very tied to this sort of a structure of a Reliant K pop punk type vibe.
Yeah.
But then there's also a lot of reference to a DC Talk as well. So it's like within the DC Talk genre, but they want the radio catchability of a Reliant K. But I think that naturally they're from a Southern rock. Like Mark Stewart's voice reminds me, and some of the guitar choices remind me of like a Kings of Leon.
Oh, that was a really thorough answer.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Who knows the answer? And Grace is like, actually, it's right in the middle of these three triads.
Mark Stewart's kind of a bummer though, because he was the lead singer until he wore his voice out.
Yeah.
So bad.
Singing Houseplant.
We all heard it coming.
He put in the work for a good cause.
Yeah.
He had the range.
Listen, you could tell that he was like
anyone
wearing it out.
Shocked? I mean, it's very sad, but I don't think that anyone listened. Mark Stewart has an incredible voice. I like it. It's a rare voice. It's, you know, you listen to a Audio Adrenaline song, you know Mark Stewart's voice. It's very unique and rare.
And it's
however,
not the kind of butt rock that would dominate the
Yeah.
That would dominate a lot of CCM later. But yeah, yes. No, it definitely felt like strain was the point. And if you're not putting in preventative measures. So in 2007, he leaves the band and is replaced by
Kevin Max.
Kevin Max.
Yeah. Kevin Cruise.
Here he comes.
Max.
And then he left after like one album and then got replaced by another guy. And now it's like, it does function like the Temptations situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you go see Audio Adrenaline, I think the bassist is the same.
No. It's all like old or new members.
Okay.
So an interesting thing that I learned from doing our episode as well is that many bands, but I think especially Christian music bands, sort of operate like franchises where they have this name recognition, especially within their key demographics, like the Newsboys. You look at that lineup and how it's changed so much over time. There are more X members than there are current members. And that rotation doesn't really matter to a lay listener. They just know it's a Newsboys song. They want to go to a Newsboys concert. Like they know what that brand is.
God's not dead. I'm happy.
Yeah. And so I think Audio Adrenaline is the exact same thing. I think someone recognized this brand has value in the Christian music market. It has recognition. People will pay for this. So let's just get that name up and running again, because your key demographic of 35 to 55 year old women and mothers are not paying attention to the lineup change. They're just going to see that on a flyer and they're going to be like, oh, that's cool for my kid to go, or that's cool, we can go together. It's an Audio Adrenaline show.
Yeah, and it's those songs rather than
I'll keep hearing those Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Is there like a similar situation in secular music?
Yeah, I mean, besides like the old like soul,
now?
Or like Journey, even like a lot of those 80s bands where it's like,
oh, okay,
whatever, freaking not
Led Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses is totally similar.
It's just like a cover band at that point, you know? Yeah,
yes,
Stones is kind of
it's same. Almost like a scam, but it's,
or it's like that philosophical question of like, if you take a ship apart board by board, you know, and replace it, is it still the same ship or not? Like, at what tipping point,
right,
is it not the band anymore?
That's it. Yeah, no, that's totally it.
That's why I respect Bruce Springsteen. The E Street Band had all the original members,
amazing,
until they all started dying one by one.
Yeah.
Starting with Danny in 2008, Clarence in 2011. Who knows who's next?
In 2020, I think it might be coming for all.
No,
I'm sorry.
I got the corona.
He has been shaking many hands. He kept going on Broadway even though it's closed.
I mean, he's friends with Tom Hanks. He's truly Tom and Rita are buds with Bruce and Patty.
Oh,
so
God.
Maybe if they're in Australia now. Thoughts and prayers. Australia. Hopefully this will be funnier when you listen
Thoughts
to this. I don't
prayers.
Know. but this is
It is the brand now.
Yes.
But this album, it was still the real band.
The real deal.
The core band. Okay.
So much the real deal that on the top of the album,
their names.
It has the last names of the band members. They were like, we're in this forever, boys. Mm-hmm.
Interesting
and it's like,
choice.
Burkham, Sissel, Herdman, McGinnis.
I didn't even notice that.
Stewart.
That's so weird. Don't
Shout
you
out
know
to
that,
TV.
Mark Stewart, lead singer of Audio Adrenaline, was married to Toby McKean's sister.
Wow.
Now
it
just makes
they're
divorced now. But
the Kevin Max thing, it makes it so like incestuous all in
they're
the
all
family.
They're all connected.
Because then Michael Tate replaces the Newsboys front man. Like, it's all...
It's so weird because for them, it must feel on some level like that world is dead now. But still, they're getting to like kind of work with it, you know?
Well,
I'm curious for them how much like their career is pure nostalgia now versus like an active creative endeavor that they're doing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like how many people stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
And how many new fans are you bringing in?
Yeah, unless they're all. Well, Michael W. Smith like transitioned to worship music and stuff like that too.
Oh yeah,
this is how I fight my battles.
That term, that is
alone.
That's a really good impression.
Crucified, laid beyond the stone.
It's like a young Bob Dylan.
Very young.
Man, that song though. My place in this world.
I mean, undeniable.
So
I like
good.
Those
so
songs.
Good.
I like those
My
songs.
Dad would always be like, he was voted one of people's most beautiful people. And I was just like, that. If that's the litmus
Strange.
Test for like crossover Christian impact.
Caroline, like, in his peak, you would have smashed.
Like,
well. You would say would smash.
Yeah,
at his
like peak. Me,
no, he's
like,
he was pretty cute.
I see it. Yeah.
He's pretty cute.
He's cute. He's still cute, too.
He's a good.
He's got the weird teeth, you know, but he's like,
wait. Oh, he has the weird like
just
pastor teeth, very white.
Yes,
very white.
I mean,
all veneers now.
I mean, with him, unlike Michael Tate, we don't have a boner killing photo of him hugging President Trump and praying for him. So,
or
I mean,
Bart Millard hanging out with Vice Pence.
Bart Millard.
Wait, I haven't
Come
seen.
On.
Oh yeah,
That's
no,
a
he's
sweet
no,
face.
He looks cute.
Yeah, he's got those baby blues.
He seems nice.
Old blue. Eyes, as we call them.
Now, wait. Caroline's now showing us a picture. It's Michael W. Smith, George W. Bush, and Ellen at a football game together.
No,
hanging
shaking
out.
Hands.
No. I mean, oh probably though,
sure.
Right?
They're miming a fake.
Wait,
bomb?
there's a photo of Michael Tate and Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, Michael Tate laying hands on the president and praying for him.
Yeah, like recently.
Yeah, when they went to the White House for whatever music bill or
Just so you don't sleep tonight either. I'd like to show that.
No,
to
we
you.
Were. Yeah, we had a fun meme time on the internet with that. Michael Tate and Donald Trump.
Oh, it's small here.
Now, Michael Tate, I think he does live in Nashville, but technically his residence is in the sunken place.
Oh. I don't know what this man is doing.
Yeah, here we go. Ooh, look at all the spiritual evangelical leaders surrounding him.
I did not know that.
So, I don't know, technically what you would call here's pictures
his
of him singing
solo
in the White
work
House.
With Tate. Band was very good.
Just one album they put out.
I enjoyed. And that's sort that was that like that same voice. Sort of incredible. Mm-hmm. He's so talented. That's that same sort of audio adrenaline genre of like rock, I guess. You know what I mean? Like it's not like, really going
whatever
hard.
Whatever rock means to you. Is this Tate?
His voice freaking rocks. Oh, you know this song. The album cover.
It's so cool.
Creepy shit.
It was cool.
At the time.
They had that song, like, if I change the whole world. Oh, this is out. Is this Alabama? No. Wait. What can I do? I think I put this on a mixtape.
For a crush?
To a girl, I did. Wait. The words I wanted to say, right? Is that what the song is?
It's called Lost for Words.
Yes. Because what I wanted to say never came out the way. Yeah, this song I 100% sent to a lesbian girl. And I'm sure that that's what Michael Tate would have wanted. Yeah. I definitely sent this song on a mixtape of just like, give me another chance.
I'm sure he wouldn't have anything to say about that.
Wink at you,
but I didn't have a clue.
He would look at you with a distance longingly at the life he could have. But this album is Underdog.
Yes.
From Audio Adrenaline. Came out in 1999. And you were listing a bunch of different musical influences and cross sections, which I fully see. And then when I listened to it, I could also hear 123 BPM. Well, that's Radiohead right there.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
What do you think I'm about to say?
Every morning.
Well, to me, a lot of this reads a Smash Mouth.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also all over the map. Like the DC-10 song on here, which is like, do you know where you gotta go?
Yeah,
like,
straight up a ska.
Which
song.
Is a redo. DC-10.
That's what I thought.
It was a song on their first album done in a much different. But you have to remember, in 1999, it was the Zoot Suit Riot and the Cherry Pop and Daddies.
OC
Swingers
Supertones,
was big.
Five Iron Frenzy.
So, like, new swing was in. But the original DC-10 sounds a little something like this.
They were pretty. So much better. I didn't know that Audio Adrenaline ever went this hard.
But they did.
I'm into it.
They didn't have to, but they did.
This is Audio Adrenaline?
This is DC-10.
And then they redid it?
Yeah, in a swing style for
like
the new album.
Soda hop?
By the way, this... Yeah, because that was the trend back then.
Yeah.
Everyone loved wearing like bowler shirts and looking like Jon Favreau and Swingers.
They really loved bowler shirts.
Isn't that funny? They also, by the way, before we move back to the album, they had a song on the Audio Adrenaline album called PDA. And it was about how we need to treat God with a public display of affection. And it is quite adorable. Oh, let's see if we can get to a chorus.
Precious.
Public displays of affection.
Mash out with
for the Lord.
The other day.
Right? Right, guys?
Except for PDA, it stands for private displays of affection.
Not in front of my mommy.
speaking of duplications, Jesus Movement sounded a lot like Every Morning to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
no, it's totally
like,
Sugar.
Moment?
There's Jesus. One. There's one. Sign the Sugar.
Jesus Movement is bad.
Awesome.
Bad.
Bad. I call
it's a lot.
My alt title for this was Goes on Mission Trip Once.
Thank you.
I was gonna say Hands and Feet is the short-term missions trip.
Both.
Anthem.
This whole album is basically like, guys, did you know that there's hurt outside
here it is.
Of the U.S.?
Dancing.
I'm gonna someday try to do something about that.
Every moment, a halo hanging on the corner of my girlfriend's four-post bed.
Wow, it's uncanny.
Mm-hmm. There was also.
I gotta go.
Yeah, there's a lot of mission stuff on this, but actually, Underdog, the title track. If we're talking about mashups, we'll have to wait for the chorus. What did this sound like to you? This also feels Smash Mouthy.
Very Smash Mouthy. This is the sort of song that I used to try and like kind of trick my friends on a mixtape wasn't Christian. Like, you know, you'd be passing around CDs and I'd be like, this one, like, it's not necessarily about. But then they really mess it up for me because I forgot midway through the song they have like a monologue where it's just like, Jesus Christ is the ultimate underdog. And I'm like, oh, you blew it. You blew it. This will never go on our run out song for basketball.
It's a cross section of I'm a piece of shit, which is a genre that dominates a lot of CCM, but also kind of a persecution anthem where it's like, I'm an underdog, or I'm a little, there's a little bit of persecution flavor, but also like, I'm small, so he's great.
Yeah.
but what this reminded me too is for all those gyms looking for their Pams, it did remind me.
Oh my gosh.
Bit like The Office. Did they plagiarize Underdog for the theme song of The Office?
Oh,
that's the big question that office ladies, it's your your turn to answer. Balls in your court.
I love good Christian fun asking the important questions.
Nosebleed. Gotta know.
Again, in this climate, we need to
have everything's crossed. But no, it's really interesting when you listen to this album because it is really all over the place. I mean, ending with the houseplant song, we haven't even gotten there yet. Oh wow, wow.
Yeah.
But it is like they went like mission trip fun. Mission trip like hands and feet, and then like the Jesus movement, and then I think that like songs like DC-10 sound like the sort of song that you, after the day of mission tripping, you would like, where are you going to go? Like that sort of thing, like heaven or hell, down the hole. Like these are the sort of songs that you'd like sing, then you're not really thinking when you're a kid. And then when you get older, you're like, that was really messed up. Why was I?
DC-10, they're like talking about all the tragic ways. They're like hit by a bus, dropped from a plane, your mom died. Just like all this kind of horrific stuff. Like get sick.
An airplane crashes into a 7-Eleven.
Oh, my God.
Let's hear a little bit of DC, too. And it's a fun song about going to hell.
Yeah.
It's about you're going to go to hell. But it's fun.
Where are you going to go?
Did you like the cover on this album?
Weird. I thought
this
was
strange,
weird.
Right?
Very strange.
I mean, wait, is this it as well?
No, this is Let My Love Open the Door from child pornographer Pete Townsend. Oh, from The Who.
Yeah.
And he was caught with like a bunch of child pornography on his. Yeah.
Ew.
Oh, I heard this song?
I think I just probably assume, I know this song.
This is a bit shady, but I remember when I listened to Underdog the first time knowing that this was a cover because I was like, this song is kind of too good to be.
To be there.
Like, I was like, this song sounds like it would be on like a rom-com, like with Kate Hudson, like for her, like getting her back, going to work, all that stuff. And I was like, that's not Audio Adrenaline. I love you, Audio Adrenaline, but you didn't write this one.
The melody is far too good.
I like this song a lot. Get Down was kind of like a sort of sequel to Big House.
Get Down was to me like, this is the big hit from this album, right? Like, this is the one that everyone knew.
Yeah, this was the one that was on Wow.
This and Hands and Feet were the two that got a lot of radio play.
Well, their organization is called Hands and Feet, right? Didn't they start a charity called Hands and Feet?
Yes.
And I was looking at like celebrity endorsements on the website, and Quentin Tarantino said he loves half of this organization. But not the other half.
I was going to bring that up, especially when the song goes just feet, feet, feet.
Well, it sounds like maybe we should just listen to that
Grace
now.
Grace is down.
Now. It's just looking into Quentin Tarantino's mind.
I really want to. Why isn't there an edit of that out there on the internet right now? I want to be a feet. I want to be a feet.
It's like the second half of the song.
This is
across my TV screen.
Yeah, it's so affected.
Another broken heart comes into view. Let me see if I can find something on the internet.
I saw the pain.
Who's watching Lost?
Songs like this really kind of piss me off because I know that they are just about mission. Why? What?
Just like, let me go save a brown person.
I want to be your feet.
Feet.
Now, if you're asking me right now if I did make a mission trip video in the year 2003 set to this song.
You did.
Of course I did. What else would I put it to?
What was the one you did for the baseball video?
Oh, the theme to the American president? The Michael Douglas movie? Well, there was that. Wait, was there another one you're thinking
of? I feel like there was a big one where you used some
The Kill Bill song? I didn't use any Christian music for the baseball video.
Oh, okay.
But, man, I loved making those missions.
Oh, my gosh.
I've always been like this, is what I've learned. It's like where I'm just like, hey.
Really, you know,
just like putting a camera in your face. It's been 18 years burning down the road.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, this, of course, was...
Yeah.
Such a theme song for all these like missions back at the, I don't know what the height of popularity of missions was in the last 30 years.
I think they're still there. I think
they're still there, but what was the height of popularity?
The height, I don't know.
Who knows? We'll have to get a missionary on.
I think that I do hope we're at like a different level of sort of like consciousness about like, you know, that you can help people also in your own community now, whenever you want. Mm-hmm. And I also think that like the selective help, because as a member of like the queer community, I think of like how homelessness disproportionately affects LGBTQ youth. And I'm like, where are the hands and feet for
hands,
them?
Feet.
And I know that you could always be like, well, what about these? What about that? Like, there's so much hurt in the world. So I don't want to be like, what about that? But it's just sort of like very... Mission projects is a whole thing. I'm sure y'all have talked about it, but I think specifically, I'm like, it's very choosy who gets the hands and feet.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it too. Like, it's often children because children haven't done anything that you morally disagree with yet, you know, or something. Or you can't like blame them for getting on the streets, you know, because of their drug habit or whatever that they did. And
getting on the streets.
I feel like I have a few friends that are still involved with like Campus Crusade, and I'll see their updates every once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
And I think they are a little more culturally sensitive, and they have like more training, like, hey, don't take pictures with kids without their permission, and like don't do that kind of bullshit. And that said, I feel like they're still doing a lot of mission trips, of course, but like they have a whole branch just for like the Latino community and the international community or whatever. And those are the only two communities. So
that's actually where hurt. That's where hurt begins and ends. So it's
yeah,
so good.
They're done.
We're so thankful that they solved it. That's why.
Yeah, we but live they're in like. Such a happy I think place. Like there's a little more awareness of
this
not
is the,
being like a white person.
The video I made for my church back in 2004 of our mission trip.
This is scary.
Is that a puppet?
A puppet.
Oh my gosh. No, stop
you
pointing at me and saying a puppet. It wasn't my
like
puppet.
From the shadow.
And you see, wait, so you set this to the to the theme from the American president?
No, this Hands is actually feet. To our theme song. Right.
Wait, was this when you guys did Airband or
Human videos?
Yeah,
we did a few of those, and then we like. Well, I have not watched this video in like 10 years.
Where
truly.
Was this trip?
This was in Tucson, Arizona. And then this was in Mexico. We would cross into the border and do VBS for them.
That guy's just shredding on the bass.
But yeah. It was so
just
cool.
Just shredding.
And it was just
this
like
group,
a cool shot
tell.
That I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
we
that
made a
turned
difference.
The corner on the
very sweet older man in the sunglasses did look like a cult leader from a movie. But
And he was. And
okay.
We joined. And we rocked.
And we
did. And it was awesome. We do have a cover of It As Well with the aforementioned...
Jennifer Knapp.
Jennifer taking a nap.
So
this
I
didn't really do it for me.
No, I thought this cover was...
Strange.
Not well.
And sleepy.
Yeah, sleepy. I also wonder, I looked up Mark Stewart gay, Mark Stewart LGBT, because I wanted to know like
Mark
who...
Stewart feet.
Mark Stewart feet. I looked it up. I looked it all up because I was like, what happened? Who sort of like came out... in support of Jennifer Knapp, like, you know, when things or since then, who has like come to her side and been like, I'm her friend and ally and I support her and affirm her.
You know
her.
Who has?
And who?
I think Mac Powell.
That's what I saw. I saw
day.
On his Instagram.
They're like chilling.
Whoa. Yeah.
So he's at least not scared to be seen with her.
Yeah.
Whether he's fully affirming, I don't know, but like, hopefully, I don't know.
I know. Maybe but I was looking up Mark Stewart, and you know what? The results... for Mark Stewart gay, Mark Stewart LGBT, not nothing came up. So.
Oh man, so it's not like, oh, I did this solo with you and I remained your friend.
No,
and stood
there's
by.
Nothing. But who knows? He could listen to this and clarify. I would love.
Hey,
we would
maybe,
love.
Or maybe he'll listen to this and be like, I was wrong, or whatever he sounds like now. I was wrong. I'll
well,
be
now he won't
now.
Because we don't, yeah.
Why?
He made fun of his voice.
No,
it
I'm
really
not
sounds
fun.
Like
I'm
that.
Doing an impression.
It's a spot. What if that's a spot on impression? He's like, I was going to say
then
something.
I'm not sorry.
But I'm hurt.
Hey, Quentin. What are you thinking about?
hand fetish as much as there's a foot fetish.
No,
there's
everyone like be. Who doesn't
there's
like
gotta
hands?
Gotta be.
Wait, yeah. I like. Hey, who doesn't love holding a hand or yep. kissing someone's hand?
Wow.
But feet. Wait, what? Is that strange?
No, I think that's
no,
fine.
It's normal.
But it like it still can be a fetish. Like, oh, I like arms, you know. But it's not right. like, let me see those arms.
Let me see those arms. Yeah. I think that like. Well, now I'm speculating, but I think that like feet most often are covered for the in
yeah,
most of
and that's
the day.
Why it's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. There's like a level sweaty. Of excitement.
Yeah.
Oh, because it is covered, it feels like a forbidden object.
Yeah, it's a.
That's why I'm trying to get these piggies.
The forbidden
out
foot.
Kevin's it's truly the most forbidden foot.
These piggies have been quarantined for a long
your
time.
White whale is to get Kevin's feet.
Actually, I'll go on record.
For a while.
I'll go on record on the Good Christian Fun podcast. The only way Caroline Ely sees my feet is if I get cast in Quentin Tarantino's final film. And he does film me barefoot.
And it's a beach movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like offering to suck Brad Pitt's D or whatever.
Do you wear,
I'm doing in that.
Socks and shoes to the beach now?
Yeah.
No, you have sandals for the beach, surely. When you're on
I
the
don't,
sand?
I don't own a pair of sandals. I'll probably get one for the sand. I'll wear like Converse or something.
What?
And then like no-show socks.
No.
But then you take those off to go walk in the sand, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the beach this summer.
No,
yeah.
No.
Already, let's hit the waves.
No, I need to quarantine. I can't go to the beach with you.
What are you hiding?
People are going to... There's nothing to hide. Mm. And certainly certain...
Yeah, what's wrong?
Certain select people in my life have
or are they so gorgeous? you don't want to devastate
Do you have amazing
us?
Feet?
It is like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction where you open it. It's just like glowing at you. It's like, whoa.
I'm so
Better
jealous. I'm really insecure now.
I not to like try and steal your shine, but
please.
I have great feet.
Hey,
it's true.
Do you moisture? Like, what do you have?
No,
like, what care.
It's,
what
it's
you,
truly genetic. My mom has great feet and I have the exact same feet as her.
That's nice.
My dad
like,
has
you don't
awful
have a weird
feet.
Toe or
nothing
something.
Weird.
Yeah.
They're all like in line.
Are you
I have
both
a nice
baiting
little arch
me right now.
Amazing.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, if your feet are better than mine, prove it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's interesting. All I'm saying. Gauntlet to throw down, yeah. Grace. I don't know if I. Maybe later. Wait, what other songs did we want to talk about this? We got This Day. We got It's Over, for. Which is the bargain bin closing time.
It's Over was like, hi, we are also Reliant K. What? Like,
yeah.
We're like, we're also fun. This Day is Switchfoot. And then
I know
this one is.
Want to take me home.
Yeah.
Which I don't know when closing time came out, but before 1999.
Yes, before. But I thought this was like a little fun, whimsical way of ending the show.
Sure.
Yeah, this is a great concert closer.
Is it?
I mean, it'd be fun, you know, for everyone that knew it.
And then one of the things is like say goodnight to all the friends who
rocked with you,
rocked along beside you, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's your body count.
Yeah.
Oh man, Kevin, you're a friend that I rock next to.
Dude, no, not in my
rock and roll. Oh, it's rock and rolled beside you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
rock we're rock and rolled.
Sure. That's wholesome.
Enjoy the show. It's over. It's over.
To me, this sounds like a puppet show song. Like, can you imagine? Like, we hope you enjoy the show.
Actually, Grace, I can imagine.
It's time
imagine
to light
that.
The music.
Yeah, yeah.
It's over. I just glaze over and I check out the rest of the podcast. Wowie zowie.
He's really doing it.
Wait, how would you describe my relationship to puppets?
Close.
Do you love puppets?
Caroline made me a puppet of myself for my birthday this past year, which was a pretty
Do you have other puppets?
Gift. Yeah.
It's not like you're like a big puppet performer.
No.
But I feel like
it's just for me.
In the culture, puppets mean a lot to you.
Yes.
And also seem to embody things for you.
Well, I think it's strange if you don't like the Muppets. Like
yes.
If you don't like them, you don't have to love them. But like, you are you so numb to the charms of Gonzo?
I used Fozzie to make Facebooks for my puppets.
Really?
Oh, wait.
It's extremely cool.
Hey,
I love puppets.
Question. Did you have a collection? And...
I did have a few.
Okay.
I did. And they didn't all get Facebooks.
Before.
Did they get friends on Facebook?
You know what? A few of my friends did fall, and then they would request to unfollow them. Like, you know, they'd be like, "Listen, I friended your puppet. Can you?
We're done here."
Yeah, but I think all the accounts are deleted. But there was like Jean-Pierre, who's like this chef puppet that I had, and I had like his little arm and everything.
They're really fun to do.
I really loved puppets. It was a year in my life when I was at home in mandated therapy, given certain things that were not going my way, and I really found a lot of comfort in puppetry. I really liked puppets.
That's so sweet.
And when I moved out to LA, I just didn't have enough room to bring them at the time. But my mom will ask me.
It's
she's
like the end of Toy Story 3.
It's sad. Yeah, they are probably like, when she's gonna
they're in a box.
You're
like, no, she'll come back for us.
Yeah,
that
makes me so sad.
No, she won't.
No, this one souffle, she cannot bake.
She doesn't even log on Facebook anymore.
No, you can't. This is making me so sad.
By the way, I saw something on Facebook. Did you hear that Trump is God?
The vaccinations have deadly poison in them.
Chemtrails are killing us all.
Puppets idea off Facebook.
That's very sweet.
That's I very know. Cool.
The puppets
like
are
puppets.
Getting radicalized by Facebook.
All right, members.
Well, you know, if you ever want another like little puppet, they're pretty cheap now. You can get Amazon.com one.
Not Gerbert.
Yeah, Gerbert.
Gerbert is Radino a high Gerbert. Dollar item.
What's that?
Oh my gosh.
Gerbert's a Christian puppet who's like a little orange man.
I was once like you, didn't know what Gerbert was. I was happy. I led a wholesome life.
Gerbert?
Yeah, Gerbert.
What, yeah, we, Gerbert.
Yeah, are we speaking nonsense gobbledygook right now?
I was once like you. I didn't know
Gerbert
who
is
Gerbert.
A Christian puppet show. Gerbert is the star of the show.
Hi, I'm Gerbert. Hey, hi.
Oh, I know Gerbert.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Put a few things up in your room that I'd like you to wear when you ride this.
All right,
my scooter's ready for some serious scooting.
Wait, I'm obsessed.
Me when I'm at a semi.
All I...
What?
My scooter's ready for some scooting.
I don't know how I know that Gerbert, but I know Gerbert. I don't know what video.
Okay, great.
Well, he is the culture.
That's what I mean. As soon as I walked in, I told Kevin, I was like, there's always something that like I like it jogs a memory that you didn't know you had, and that is Gerbert. That is Gerbert. I don't know how I know Gerbert, but I know Gerbert, and I don't know what video it is and what influence he's had on my subconscious.
Apparently, he was pretty pervasive on some level. What the? Hey, that's
all my protective gear. Helmets are really good things, but this one's kind of uncomfortable. I've got an idea. Instead of wearing this helmet, I'll just be extra careful when I ride.
I think there's a fan edit called Gerbert Wants to Die.
One hand, baby. Backwards with no hand.
Oh my God.
Seeing all these positions, bro.
One hand on the scooter.
There's no fun at all.
Me.
Safety stuff, no fun
at
all.
That's why mommy, I gave us mommies and daddies.
Mommies and daddies.
If you think I'm not going home immediately after this, and exposing my wife to Gerbert and watching Gerbert videos all night,
look, before you leave, forgive and forget. It may be my favorite, which I don't know if exists, but it was a VHS cover where he's just saying, like, wrongfully accused.
And his, Gerbert he's got in court.
He's got a speech bubble that says, "But I really did do it." It's like, shit, is Gerbert getting
this is
me too?
Untenable. Yeah, you need to own
it. Oh my God. Gerbert, get on the notes app. Screenshot that apology, my
Gerbert
man.
Gerbert learns how to make a proper apology.
Oh my God.
Wrongfully accused.
Did you watch Gerbert? Like, you saw it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. We had the VHS.
But you didn't know about Gerbert until Reed.
What the hell? No.
This is what happens.
No, I didn't. No.
Okay, you didn't know Gerbert until recently.
The only, like, Christian media I had was VeggieTales, really, growing up. Like, as a kid.
And Avine, which sucked.
And what?
Out of Eden.
Hey, no, it doesn't.
Yes, it was good.
It was like a band. It was like a girl band.
I know Out of Eden.
You know it?
It was Bobo Destiny's Child, and we did him on an episode last year.
This whole show was Bobo whatever. Out of
no, DC Talk was very original.
I don't know. They're fine. They were like the first Christian band I ever saw in concert. I think the only one. Yeah. And they were amazing to me at the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Okay. Well, I think it's time to rate the album at hand.
Okay.
Enough about Gerbert. Let's talk about that underdog. So the way this works, we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down, or we send it to purgatory. Thumbs up, we give it a holy toast. Okay. And we send Mark Stewart and his nodule-riddled vocal cords all the way to heaven. Where Michael Tate's waiting for him.
Oh my gosh.
Seeing that, holy roast, we send them down.
Oh.
Which is what DC 10 is about. Is like, do you know where you're going to go?
Yeah.
I sure don't. Or we send him to purgatory if it's not sure one or the other. The space
between. Oh my gosh, amazing.
We start with Caroline.
Yeah, think ahead. I'm going to give it a space between, actually. I feel like there was nothing outright awful about this album, you know, but mm-hmm. it wasn't like great. And again, I really couldn't put my finger on like, what are they supposed to be? And maybe I just need to accept that, you know, like, what does it say about me that I need to confine them to some kind of genre so that
yeah,
I
what's
feel
wrong
comfortable,
with you?
You know? Yeah. These boys are having fun. Maybe I should just let them. But yeah, space between.
All right. Space between from Caroline. We turn it to Grace.
I feel as though this album is really all over the place. There are some hits that were staples in Christian culture, and then there are some truly bizarro moments and turns. I don't want to send it to hell only because I think that the song DC 10 would want that too much. So I've got to agree and send him to purgatory.
Okay,
just well. Just kind of some floating around there somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hopefully
that's
learning.
Fair.
Yeah.
So Caroline went, Grace went.
Well, it's my turn now.
I will also send it to purgatory because I remember liking Hands and Feet a lot. It was mm-hmm. a soundtrack for a video I made.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to have some sort of measure of affection for it. And I like his voice. Too bad he didn't take care of it. Sorry to Mark.
Maybe he's better now.
Sorry to this man.
Sorry to this Mark.
Sorry to this Mark.
I don't know this man.
And that's all I have to say about that. But you can vote a roast or toast at Christian Fun Pod. Get out there. And this one's sad this week.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Ballers.
Pour one out.
Oh, man.
For old Elizabeth Warren.
We have to put Biden in there now.
Saying like... where's my mom?
yelling at another union worker.
My legs yeah. have blonde hair on. Like, truly. Mm, great. Yelling at you. What if that's the drop? For
literally yelling.
Telling him you're full of shit yeah. is our drop. But you know what? At least Elizabeth Warren got to dance on SNL. And happy Hillary on Hulu week to us all.
Hillary.
Yeah, Caroline really wants Hulu-ry to
start trending.
Off.
Uh-huh.
And I understand that. But now we're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. Mark Stewart's not going to scream at us anymore in here.
He can't do that.
He can't. Well, he really can't do that now. Sorry, Mark. I'm sorry, buddy. Very sad. I've had
roasting
vocal troubles
sweet,
of my
sweet
own.
Mark
I know.
Stewart.
No, no.
You
he
have?
Deserves love. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I told you that. 8 years ago, I went on vocal rest for 3 days.
Whoa.
Wait, Caroline just
that
got hearts in her
so
eyes. She was like trying
what
to.
What were the conditions that precipitated that situation?
And are they recreatable at all?
No. I like when you talk.
So we're not here to plug our projects or promote ourselves. We're here to lift them up to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And by lift up, I mean promote our projects and social media handles. And we'll start with Caroline. And maybe something we're enjoying in the secular culture.
You can lift up all the projects I'm doing at Caroline's Farts on, you know, TikTok and Letterboxd, such as that.
Such as that.
I am going
Hot
to lift up a good podcast that I enjoyed called Crypto Queen that was recommended to me by some listeners. And I asked for some good podcast recommendations. I'm also going to lift up washing your hands and practicing social distance. Please take this very seriously. Look up what's happening in Italy. I want you to live.
Follow Caroline at Caroline's Farts on Letterboxd, where you can you can read such gems as her review for Shazam, in which she said, "What a fun little stinker this was. Although I was 3 drinks deep, so who really knows?" 2 stars. 2 stars.
What's wrong with two stars?
It's like, it's fun. I feel like two is negative.
Yeah.
I feel like three and above is positive.
But I had a good time.
But you said a fun little, stinker. Oh, you don't mean stinker and like,
no,
that.
I mean,
oh,
like
you stinker.
It stunk.
Oh, yeah. I hated that movie. Shouts out to Zachary Levi, an evangelical Christian.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah. For representing me
and
in Hollywood.
We need missionaries like him on our film sets.
Representing me in the DC
in our DC
film
cinematic universes.
I don't know. Ben Affleck is probably on his way to Chris Pratt in it.
Oh, no. You think?
I don't know. I sense it.
That he's going to go Christian?
Yeah.
I think he's beyond
Jennifer
it.
Garner yeah. is Christian.
Put some respect on
her. Yeah, but she's... But with Jen's cool, though, right?
I don't know. Probably.
Yes. She's cool.
The same way, like, she goes to, like, Mosaic, you know?
Oh,
but,
no. Jen, if you're listening,
but
ask
Ben
some
wants
questions.
To win her back. He regrets what happened with them.
Wow, you really know the drama's happening
I've
here. Let's lift that up.
Ben's going to the First Church of De Armas right now, and he's getting on his knees and worshiping. Do you not know this?
Anna De Armas? What?
It's gross. Anyway, not for me to say.
What's going on with these girls?
Anna and Florence are on a text chain together where they're just like gassing each other up like, you're making good decisions. You're making good decisions. Yeah. Anyway, that's condescending. I'll cut that out, but whatever. We turn it to Grace.
Hello. What I would like to lift up is my social media handle.
Hey.
It's just at Grace Baldridge. You can follow along. We have new episodes of State of Grace coming out very soon.
What a great show.
You can watch them indoors mm-hmm. as you practice social distancing right. and washing your hands while you watch, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
wash
like
wash and watch.
Wash and watch.
Each mm-hmm. episode yeah. is the length of time you should be washing your hands.
Oh my God.
Yeah, each episode is 15 minutes, so just honestly,
nice,
a full shower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get
under the nails.
For fingers when you come out of that
it should
sink.
Be bones by yeah. the time you're done.
And I have new music coming out sometime now that I'll have a lot of time at home to work on it. So I think by the end of this month, we'll have an EP out. Nice. So
great.
Great.
All right, well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I once again have nothing to recommend to you. I did see a show on Broadway. I can't recommend that. It's close.
What is it?
The Minutes, starring Tracy Letts and Armie Hammer.
We'll talk about that on Second Service.
Armie Hammer.
Yeah, well, I got something Armie can hammer.
Me.
With that dick.
A condom? I don't know. Am her?
No, this is good. No, keep going.
Just say that. Ham someone.
Oh, dude. Okay, I went back to her place.
The act.
We put on a movie, but you could tell nine of us were really watching it. And then I started hamming her so hard. I was hamming her.
I think I'm too gay for this.
I think so. No, this is why straight culture
these
is
are
bad.
Yes. Like, yeah. The straights are not okay.
No, we're not good.
What, you don't like ham?
No, nor should she. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity, once again, is
the Immigration Institute in the Bay Area.
BAY. Grace, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you
on
for
the
having
show.
Me.
Thank you so much, Grace. It was
thank
so fun
you.
To talk
a
to you.
Fun time. This was wonderful. Yes. I've really been looking forward to it. I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm happy
oh,
y'all exist.
I'm a big fan of yours, friend.
You. Oh my gosh.
And there's nothing left to say except for, and all of Pod's people said, Amen. Amy.
Army.
And all of God's people said, Army Hammer.
Ham me. Army. I'm Ham her. Wait, what song do we want to go out with? Maybe from the...
Grace's choice.
Yeah, Grace's pick.
I think the houseplant one. It's so weird.
Yeah, we didn't really address it.
Yeah, we can address
Let's
it while
listen.
We go out. It starts with a kind of a DJ bit. There are latte espresso jokes on it.
It's a bit.
This is a song about a book I read once about the so-called inherent evils of rock and roll, and I wrote this little song about it.
Awesome.
I guess I'd just like to thank you all for letting me come out and sing this song tonight. Here it goes. Once I read a book, and
this is what it said. If your music has a beat, then you're gonna wind up dead. It doesn't really matter if it's Christian or not. If it's syncopated rhythm, then your soul is gonna rot. And this book was called Ha! You're Gonna Burn. And in the second chapter, I went on to learn. Take two house plants and put them to the test. Set them both in front of speakers and let the music do the rest.
I was reading the CCM encyclopedia of like Christian music and bands. And they sing it out. This song said, this is funny once and never again.
Never.
Yeah, this doesn't work.
This doesn't make... This is a song you play live and only live. Yes. And then it's fun. And they were like, should this be an album?
Yeah. Let's pay for studio time.
They heard Chris Rice by do cartoons. They're like, we can do that. And the answer was,
no, they couldn't.
Chris Rice.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
My neighbor stood. He said, man, I'd like to get some sleep if you think I could. I said, man, can't you see here? I've got this moral dilemma that I have got to get clear.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.